Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I love that you played this medley. It actually shocked me out of my chair when it started up.
It was very bright.
Yes, it was very celebratory. So are we going to listen to a little more of it? This is the Armed Forces Medley, I would take it. An homage to all those different branches of the military. So I guess that kind of gives away the theme of our show today, which is in celebration of Veterans Day, a day early. But I thought I really wanted to take this opportunity to talk about why we celebrate Veterans Day, why we take a Wednesday in the middle of the week instead of a Monday that seems to be our traditional national holidays. Why is it something that we should care about? And I'm hoping that those of you who have served in the military will feel welcome to call in and talk about what service has meant to you, because I really wanted to open up this hour today to make a space for those who have served to talk about what that experience has been, because I think we tend to, and maybe, you know, in many ways rightly so, talk about the negatives of military interventions and the military in our country and the warlike nature of our country. And we have a lot of concerns about the care of those who are returning from service, and they're struggling with PTSD and homelessness and unemployment. We have a lot of reasons we should be concerned about our veterans and about our military presence around the world. And I understand that. And it's something that we address regularly on our public radio stations and many venues in our country. But what we don't do enough of is sing the praises of those who, in spite of all of the ways that we may not be doing our best around the world when it comes to military interventions or serving those who have served our country, I think it's important to take the time to not just say thank you for your service, but to really honor that temperament, that spirit of those who are willing to put their life on the line, those who are willing to put themselves out there for something greater than themselves. So today we are going to celebrate Veterans Day a little early and hopefully inspire you to continue on tomorrow to take the time to think of those who have served this country and maybe do something nice for a veteran. So that's kind of where we're going today. But before we get started, I do want to remind you that not only are you welcome to be part of this conversation by calling in 805-781-3875, but you can also be part of this conversation on our I almost said MySpace, which is so ancient.
That's so old.
So I don't even know where it came from. On our Facebook page, which is becoming dated and old, but our Facebook page, you can like us on The Reluctant Therapist, our website, thereluctanttherapist.com. You can send me messages there. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. If you want to be modern day, you can now download our podcasts onto your devices to listen at another time by going to iTunes and plugging in under podcast, The Reluctant Therapist. And you can always go to our beautiful webpage, kcbx.org, and listen to previous shows. And speaking of KCBX, this is our 40th anniversary year of serving the community, trying to serve the common good of all of those within our listening area. And so Sunday is a big event, right, Hank?
It is. Sunday is our 40th anniversary party. We're having an open house here at the station. I think it starts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for 4 till 8. And it's $40 per person. It includes entertainment by the Tipsy Gypsies and food from Luna Red and wine from Castoro Cellars. And it should be a good time. We'll have tents out front and tours of the station. And it, like I said, should be great.
It'll be a lot of fun, and I'm planning on being there, as I know a lot of other hosts are going to be there. So I would love to meet all of you who are out there listening on a regular basis. Please come to the party, celebrate with us, celebrate these 40 years, and also come by and say hi, because I'd really like to meet you and maybe talk about some issues or ideas that you would like to have us address here on the program each week. That's a great way to do.
The one thing I can say about this is it makes me feel real old, because my very first day of work here, I was doing the early morning edition shift, and unknown to me, somebody came in from the front office and said, oh, by the way, your first day at work is KCBX's 13th birthday. So my first day was KCBX's 13th, and now we're celebrating our 40th. So that just makes me feel old.
And you don't look a day over 15 years.
Thank you.
But I do. I look forward to being here on Sunday and having some fun celebrating with everyone and talking about all the things that KCBX has meant to this community for a really long time. So having said that, welcome into this conversation with a reluctant therapist. We are celebrating Veterans Day. And, you know, just quickly, and maybe it's just me, but I want to talk about why we celebrate Veterans Day, because I don't know if we all know why there's a Memorial Day and a Veterans Day. You know, maybe I'm thinking they might be the same thing or different. Well, Memorial Day is to honor those who have died in battle. So that's why we celebrate Memorial Day. Veterans Day actually is a day to celebrate and honor America's veterans for their patriotism, love of country, and willingness to serve and sacrifice for the common good. And Veterans Day originally was connected to World War I, which was considered the Great War. And fighting was ceased between Germany and the Allied forces at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, November 11th, 1918. And this was regarded as the end of the war to end all wars. And it was originally called Armistice Day to honor the veterans of World War I. But clearly, post-World War I, we had World War II and the Korean War. And so this changed the nature of Armistice Day to include all veterans, to honor all veterans of all wars. And so there was one point where they tried to move Veterans Day in 1968 to encourage more recreation and people taking three-day weekends and to have it, you know, become part of the Monday holiday, holidays that we recognize around the country. But in 1970s, there was such a public outcry about maintaining the historic and patriotic significance of Veterans Day, that President Gerald Ford returned Veterans Day to the original date of the 11th to preserve its significance. And again, to focus on why we were celebrating Veterans Day, which was to honor our American veterans. 805-781-3875. I'm curious to know, what did your service mean to you? Jack, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
I've been listening to your program for a while, and I totally agree with what you're saying. I'm a combat veteran from Vietnam. I work for Senator Max Cleland. He's the American Battle Monument Commissioner under President Obama. And we've been promoting a movie done by Rick and Ken Burns called Dead of Honor, Disabled Veterans in American History. And I wanted to just remind everybody that for the first time, it's on PBS tonight at 9 o'clock, Central Coast. Very worthwhile movie.
And, Jack, it's called Debt of Honor?
Yes, Debt of Honor, Rick Burns' movie. It's produced and by Lois Pope, who paid for the movie and paid for the Disabled Veterans of America Monument in Washington, D.C., next to the wall.
Wonderful. And Jack, what did your service mean for you in your life?
It was a turning point for me. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I was drafted and went through training, went to Vietnam, and was shot and medevaced out to a hospital in Japan and then on to Korea. And it made me realize how important an education is. And I came home and went back to school and had 45 years of a great career. And now I'm playing it forward, you might say, for everything that veterans have done and that are doing it, doing now. Because this voluntary army that we have is just amazing. These kids go in with no expectations other than looking for a way out of society that they got stuck in, and they're getting training and education, and they're being pulled up out of where they're coming from and given a chance and given some hope. Mm-hmm. So.
And Jack, I appreciate your service, and I'm sounding, it sounds like you really feel passionate about being able to be there for the younger veterans now.
I do. And I tell them, thank you for your service. Thank you for volunteering, because we really deeply appreciate it.
Absolutely. And there's a part of me that the driving force for this show was that I really believe that there is a temperament to service, that there are many, many people who feel this compelled to give of themselves in this way. And for those of us who may not have the warrior temperament or the warrior spirit or, you know, the service spirit, it's our job to make this country a place that they can be proud to serve. I feel like we all have to do our part, right?
Yeah, and Max Cleland addresses a very important issue about service to our country, not exactly reinstalling the draft and conscription, but Congress needs to pass some kind of a law that offers kids that are out of high school 2 years of service to the country, mm-hmm. and we feel that that will help close the gap between the military and the rest of our country.
And I know that General Stanley McChrystal is part of a program that I'm involved with called the Franklin Project that's also
okay.
working on trying to build this cultural expectation in service in young people 18 to 25, whether it's military mm-hmm. or civilian service, but in service in some form, because that is the ideals of this country, right, that we serve for the common good
right.
and not just for ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, Jack.
And the movie tonight addresses that issue specifically, starting with the Revolutionary War all the way through to the Afghan-Iraqi War, where if you were injured on the field during the Revolutionary War, you may have 1 out of 10 survive. And now with the sophistication that we have with the medical society, guys in our embedded in our units, 9 out of 10 survive. And so we're getting this huge population of disabled veterans coming back, and society really needs to embrace them and put them to work and put them back in our culture and not keep them so separated.
I agree. Jack, thank you so much for taking the time to call. And I will remind everyone about the movie tonight on PBS, Debt of Honor. I'll remind
them
again at the end of the show. Have a great day.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Thanks.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and if you're just tuning in, I wanted to talk about Veterans Day, and I specifically wanted to thank all of our veterans for their service and also talk about the importance of creating a space for our veterans to feel proud of their service and to feel proud of the place that they've put their life on the line for, and how can we create the space. I understand, you know, this desire to right the wrongs, to make sure that there are services for our veterans, that there are jobs for our veterans, that there is enough mental health care, because there is not. But I also think we need to focus on the honor that many people feel in going into the service, and to support that sense of honor and wanting to give back to others. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of this conversation. Is this my Uncle Nick?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm so glad you called in, because if you didn't call in, I was going to talk about you anyway.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on, Elizabeth.
So my Uncle Nick served in the Vietnam War, and I really was hoping you'd talk a little bit about what that service has meant to you now, years later.
Well, it means a lot, because recently I've connected with a bunch of vets. We meet every Tuesday at Starbucks for coffee, which brings back a lot of memories. And, you know, everybody's, you know, lived their lives, and now they're kind of in their twilight years. But it's really fun to get together and talk to people, and it's meant a lot to me. And if it wasn't for them, you know, I actually volunteer at the big VA facility in Palo Alto. I'm sure your listeners are familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a great place to go. And it's really easy to become a volunteer, and you don't have to be in the hospital part of it. You know, there's all kinds of jobs that they suggest that you can do. So I encourage people to do that and try to be part of that veteran, you know, link that I think we really need. Although there's a lot of programs going on nowadays, you know, motivating the vets and getting jobs and whatnot, but I think there's still plenty we can do. Yeah.
And so it seems, you know, having this group of men that you meet with every Tuesday, you wouldn't have really gotten together if you didn't have this common experience of having served together, right? I mean, it was that kind of gave you a common place.
Exactly. It's sort of like, you know, getting back on the bicycle or falling off the horse and getting back on, because once you see these guys, you know, it's instant camaraderie, and you just start talking about telling your own stories and listening to theirs, and it's not all about war. You know, it's about their lives today and, you know, their families and whatnot. So it's a really good spot for me, and I encourage anybody, and even in your own neighborhoods. I think you'd be surprised how many veterans there are that live right next to you, and they really don't talk about their service. So, you know, chat them up every once in a while and see what they're doing and where they've been, what their history is. It encourages communication, which I think we need more of nowadays, face-to-face. And, you know, you never know what you're going to find when you talk to some of these old guys. I think it's well worth it.
And did your feelings about having served change throughout the course of your lifetime?
I don't know. When I first went in, I wasn't doing too much, so I didn't really know what I was in for when I ended up in Vietnam. But I was proud of that. And over the years, you know, your positions change a little bit regarding war and everything, especially today with all the horrible injuries these poor guys come back with. So I would say I still am proud of what I did. And I think, you know, you can still do things for veterans, and you don't always have to talk about all the bad stuff that happened, because we definitely need an army, and, you know, we need these armed forces. So I think it really worth it. For me, it was.
Thank you.
I got to mention another thing, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Another friend I had, I grew up with, lived in my neighborhood. He found me in Vietnam, and we connected way back then in 1967. And now 40 years later, I've connected with him again, because he goes back frequently to visit the country, and actually married a Vietnamese woman. But he and I sponsor an orphan, a Vietnamese orphan. So I'm still connected to the country in some aspects. So I find that very rewarding.
And I also love that you have, again, this lifetime connection with all the people you served with. Even if you didn't know each other at the time, you have that common starting point for conversation. And I think that's one of the biggest things we're trying to combat, is loneliness and isolation that people feel as they age and get older. And to be able to reconnect with veterans through your VA hospital or through groups is so great for mental health overall throughout your lifetime. Like, having served your country gives you this entree into a whole world that you can get back into at any time.
It really does, and regardless of your age, you never can tell where a relationship with a guy who served is going to go. I mean, it could be a great friendship, a whole new group of friends, no matter where you live. So I think it's well worth it. It opens up a whole new area of your life, even though you think you're kind of on the backside of it. You know, it's really rewarding.
I'm proud of you, Uncle Nick.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Love being on your show.
Talk to you soon. This is A Conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and we're talking about Veterans Day and what service has meant to veterans in their lives, how it served them at the time and how it served them as they've gone on in their lives. And if you're a younger veteran just getting back, how has this experience been for you? Are you feeling supported? Are you finding the services that you need? How are we doing as a country to support those who feel the call to do something for the common good? And, you know, our first caller talked about the difference with our military today, because it's all voluntary. And for a lot of young people who don't have a lot of options coming out of high school or into an economy that doesn't have a lot of opportunities unless you have a higher education or higher training, that the military starts to become that one line into that one path into the opportunities for a better life. But these young people are volunteering. They're not being drafted. And what kind of temperament or belief system or confidence or curiosity does it take to give of your time and of yourself to something outside of yourselves, because it's unique in our culture. You know, we're a very individualistic culture. We're a very materialistically based culture. And so to have people that still feel that they need to do something to give back to the world is a rarity, and that I believe we need to honor that and honor that interest and that temperament. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of our conversation. Charlie, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Yeah, okay. As people know, I'm a retired Air Force surgeon, and I've had the privilege and honor of caring for many veterans and retirees, sort of three phases. During when I was in my surgical training, I spent probably a full year at various VA hospitals in the Bay Area, and talk about it, I just learned so much from these people. During the Vietnam era, I was at a small hospital in the United Kingdom and took care of families as well, and then most of my career at both at Vandenberg Air Base and Mather. It was, again, a privilege and honor of taking care of these people. My father was a World War One veteran. I had the privilege of taking, one of the VA hospitals, I had a Spanish-American War veteran as a patient.
Wow. You're dating yourself,
you know,
Charlie.
Just, being able to, I'm not directly involved in veterans. One thing, this the San Luis at the Veterans Building in San Luis, the Veterans Affairs thing place, they actually do a videotaping of people of their experiences. And I would recommend. I've talked about my experience.
And where was that, Charlie?
In the Veterans Hall in San Luis Obispo.
Oh, okay.
Right at the corner of Grand and Mission and. Anyway, the main highway there.
Mm-hmm. And so
another thing is, I think one way to look at the experience, there are various songs that really go along with that. Johnny, I Hardly Knew Ye, to the tune of Johnny Comes Marching Home, comes back. The Eric Bogle song and the band played Waltzing Matilda.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what's the other one? Oh, Johnny Cash on his America album has called The Big Battle, deals with a young man who's about to leave the service, and his big battle is going to be when he tries to readjust to civilian life. That is so, so much a part of what we face with. People come back with injuries you can't see.
Exactly.
The internal ones. And I've talked to some people that have done that. And, I had the privilege. Yeah, and also it was an honor and a privilege taking care of the families of these people.
Yeah, because you don't just serve individually. The whole family definitely serves. And so to be able to have the opportunity for families to be seen and to families to get the support when their veterans return home is equally as important. And Charlie, I appreciate you taking the time to call, and I will look up the Johnny Cash song because it is very appropriate to a lot of the experiences that people are having coming back today. You know, do we have the mental health services that are necessary? Are we providing for those vets who don't have the job training necessary to get back to work? We have 722,000 unemployed veterans right now. 60% of them are over 45, the age of 45, so they really need more job training. The interesting thing, though, is that that's a 30% decrease in unemployment over the last 10 or so years. So there are some areas where we make gains. 20% of those who served in Iraq and Afghanistan since 2001 have returned home struggling with PTSD. And although funding has been increased under the Obama administration, especially in 2014, the struggle is to find not just the services, but the clinicians who are trained to do the mental health work with our returning vets. And because it's very specific, you know, you can't just have anyone who's trained as a therapist go in and do this work, because in some ways you really need someone who has military experience to be able to understand and empathize enough to help our veterans move on with their life. And it is so much about being able to come home and reintegrate into society and to find their place and to find some pride and some connection. 805-781-3875. I'd love to hear from you. What is your story of service? What did service mean to you in your life? Are you from a family of those who have served? I didn't grow up in a military family per se, but my father served, and as you heard, my uncle served, my grandfather served, and I married into a military family. My husband's father was a career naval officer and flew in the Vietnam War, and so I the last 30 years learned about life in a military family, and it is all-encompassing for everyone who's involved. And one of the reasons that I felt motivated for this show, not just because I feel such great pride in this country, I feel such great pride in the ideals that we stand for and that the things that we do well all around the world, coming in at the service of nations who are struggling or after disasters. Our military service men and women are doing much more than just going to battle. They're working in communities and building relationships all the time. And I feel great pride in that. But I also really believe from my therapeutic core that service to the common good or service for the common good is one of the most important components for maintaining mental health, and that all of us need to spend some part of our life in service of others, whether that's through the military or through some sort of civilian service, as we talked about earlier, either AmeriCorps or Teach for America or Green Corps. There's a lot of different areas to serve. And one of the reasons that this is such a great benefit to mental health is what my uncle was talking about. It's having that common conversation with a whole group of your population that you might not otherwise have any common ground with, right? The whole idea of service, civilian service, and in a lot of ways military service, but civilian service, the idea was to find a way to unite a very diverse population, right? We're a very diverse population of people in the United States, different cultural backgrounds, different religious beliefs, different languages. I mean, we're a lot of different people. But when you have served either through civilian service or through the military service, you are forever bound to those people, your cohort of those who have served, in a common conversation, in a common language. And so that at any time you find someone and find you have this in common, that you've served the country in some way, you already have this basis for connection. And that's what we so desperately need in this country, is the sense of connection, of belonging to something that you're proud of, and also connected to each other. Because we spend a lot of time being divided and feeling divisive. Look at our political system right now. It's incredibly house divided. And so we have to find ways to have conversations that bring us together, to be able to talk about things that matter to us. And service is one of those ways, one of the most profound ways that we unite the cultural conversation. 805-781-3875. Bob, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. I enjoy your show. Thank you very much. I want to thank our current veterans. They're all volunteers. They carry a heavier physical burden than we did. They operate more complex equipment. They go further. They do more than we ever did. I think the military is definitely a formative experience. And I believe that post-traumatic stress disorder is a misnomer, and it's a guilting phrase. I believe it's post-traumatic stress. Mm-hmm. It's not a disorder when something goes bang and you lie down on the ground to avoid the shrapnel. That's a survival reaction. Mm-hmm. And when you're stressed by loud noises around you, it's not a disorder. It's a normal response to an abnormal situation. I think we need to give our veterans the credit and the respect, and not look at their way of being as being a disorder, mm-hmm. but being a a normal response to an abnormal situation.
So, Bob, and I appreciate what you're saying, because I wonder sometimes if we don't stigmatize our veterans who are struggling with PTSD, as that is the term, when they come back and it starts to feel like somehow they're weakened or they're broken because of this response. And I wonder sometimes that if we did approach it more as a common experience that is a normal response to abnormal situation, as you said, that if it wouldn't be more helpful for those individuals who are struggling with the memories and the reactions and the dreams, that if they felt more like this was a healthy response that the psyche's trying to deal with, that it would be easier for them to get better.
I absolutely believe it. Imagine or pretend that everywhere you went, when you behaved like a woman, people pointed at you and said, oh, she's got the female disorder. Mm. Or when somebody behaves like a man, they say, oh, you've got the male disorder. You're disordered. I don't think that's the situation. It's a normal reaction to an abnormal series of events.
Bob, thank you so much for calling in. It sounds like he had the bells supporting his position on this. And I do appreciate you bringing that up and thanking the younger veterans that are serving voluntarily. And I'm curious, Bob, where did you do your service?
I was in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. And how did that impact your life?
It was a formative experience. People ask me where I grew up, and I tell them somewhere between Fort Benning and Southeast Asia. Mm. I went in the service when I was 18, and I stepped off the blacktop in Vietnam. I was out in the field. I was very, very fortunate. I have friends that were there and, you know, suffered greatly and have done very well. I was extremely fortunate. It is a different experience that gives you perspectives that most people have no idea about, and there's no way they can understand. And the veterans from Vietnam were treated so badly when we returned, and now at least we respect our veterans and appreciate what they're doing, even if we disagree with the national policy. Mm-hmm. The veterans deserve our thanks and appreciation, all of them.
Absolutely. And thank you, Bob, for your service and for taking the time to call in. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and we're honoring our veterans today, one day before Veterans Day, in hopes that you'll carry this on till tomorrow and understand that it's not just a day off from work, but it's a day to take time to connect with and say thank you to and honor those who have served their country out of patriotism, love of country, willingness to serve and sacrifice for the common good. You're listening to Public Radio KCBX. We'll be back to take your calls. This is Public Radio KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. If you're just tuning in to this conversation with a reluctant therapist, I'd love to hear from you. We're talking about Veterans Day and what it is to serve, or what it was like for you to serve and what that service meant to you and to your family. Or if you are from a military family, what was that service like for your family? again, we spend a lot of time talking about all of the ways that our military may be doing things incorrectly or that our country is stepping into places they shouldn't be. But the fact remains that we have 21.8 million veterans in this country who have served their country proudly over the years. And if you think about in context, we have 319 million Americans, so 21.8 have served this country, and I think we owe it to them to not only find a way to not just support their service and say thank you for their service, but to really create an environment that respects the desire to serve and give to others. 805-781-3875 as we continue listening to a bit of the Armed Services Medley. As I mentioned before, I wasn't raised in a military family, although members of my family did serve. My husband's father was a career Navy. But I had an interesting experience this last year going to the opening day of some yacht clubs in Southern California. And I'd never really done that before, but my husband's serving on part of our yacht club board. And so we got to go to these opening days, and I was so moved because they played the military, the Armed Forces Medley, and all of the people who were there at these opening day ceremonies who had served stood up and saluted during their part of the song, their medley that represented their part of the service. And I could see just the pride of not only the people who had served, but all the people there who were in awe of the service and of giving of themselves in such a way. And I wonder sometimes, you know, these were all older people. There weren't a lot of young people at these opening day ceremonies, that I wonder what it's like for our young people today. That are we teaching civic responsibility and civic engagement to our young people? Are we giving them a sense of belonging to something greater than themselves? You know, are we in some way hurting our young people because we are not only diminishing the importance of service in a military career and why it would be a noble way to spend their lives, but we spend so much time focusing on work and money and materialistic goods that I think our young people are missing a really essential part of their development, which is understanding that it's not just about them, but they are part of something great and something grand and a common good that gives them purpose. I don't know. Maybe you feel differently, but I'd love to hear from you. 805-781-3875. Art, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yes, Elizabeth. I'm a World War II veteran. Enlisted in the Navy, left to join the Navy the day after I graduated from high school. And I wanted to say that when I got my discharge in 1946, it was more commonplace for so many of us. I think that was the reason, all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So here it is, I'm 70 years later, and I had the privilege of being part of the honor flight this past May, flying to Washington, D.C., and it was incredible. Every airport, including our local airport, changed planes in Phoenix. Again, large groups of people that were greeting us, including some military. So it was a wonderful, and on the way back, same thing. So it was a wonderful experience. I sensed, you know, this increased awareness of the overall aspect of one serving in the military. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I guess, very rewarding to have been finally, we'll say, recognized.
And what did your service, because you were so young when you went in, how did your service change you or impact your life?
Well, technically, I was interested in engineering, radio work, and so I was a radio man in the World War II. I was in the Naval Intelligence listening to and copying broadcasts from enemy forces, And so that was, I think, also rewarding to have a hand in perhaps causing the warfare to kind of turn more in our direction. Mm-hmm. So that was sort of like gratifying. And so that that got me on into an engineering career at Lockheed Aircraft for 37 years in avionics. And so then when I retired from Lockheed in 87, moved up here with my wife, Trudy, and I became a tour guide at Hearst Castle for the next 21 years.
A whole other
so
career.
I hung up my tonsils here a few years ago, and now I'm a docent at the visitor center at Hearst Castle.
You are a busy man.
Yes, and I'm just turned 89.
Oh,
just
all right.
Getting warmed up here.
Congratulations. You are just getting warmed up. And do you still connect with others who served in World War II? Or are there any remaining members?
Not really until the honor flight. Yeah, we had 21 of us. So we quickly became like a close-knit group. Oh, by the way, two of them were female. So that was a wonderful experience.
Well, that's fantastic. Art, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I'll have to come up and
You're
see
welcome.
You at Hearst Castle.
Pardon?
I'll have to come see you at Hearst Castle.
Oh, yes, please do.
Enjoy.
You'll see me at the information desk every Sunday afternoon.
I'll come by and see you. Thank you, Art.
You're welcome. Bye.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, 805-781-3875. Am I beaming, Jordan, as much as I feel like I am? Because I just love the phone calls, and I just love knowing these stories of people who have their life was in some way not molded, but inspired, or the direction of their lives was changed because of this opportunity to serve. And are we still providing that opportunity with a sense of pride for everyone who is interested in serving? Is there a nobility to service anymore? Shannon, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. I was just listening and had kind of a weird conversation with some of my family today that made me want to call and kind of share a different perspective.
Great.
My husband is in the military. He's in the National Guard, so most of the time it's just a normal day job. But he just left for another year a couple weeks ago. And I got a call from my brother today, and he made some comment that made it sound like, when is he going to be done doing this? When are you going to be, you know, when is he going to get a different job? And, you know, I just wanted to point out that a lot of families, you know, make these decisions together, and I'm completely supportive of my husband. And, you know, yes, he's gone for a year and we have three small kids and it's tough, but I think that sometimes people think that it's a burden that the husband takes on, the military person takes on, and then the spouse is just left, you know, dealing with it. But, you know, the fact is it's something that, you know, I'm fine with, and I wish that people would stop making it seem like it was, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. What I'm hearing you say is that you have signed on for this service also, that it's not just your husband serving, you're serving as well by making a sacrifice for the country, and that you feel proud of that, and you feel proud that your family is doing your part and that it doesn't feel like a burden.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess I would like for other people to know that, you know, it's a choice that everybody makes, and I mean everybody in the family, and it's not a burden, really. It's just his job, and there's parts of it that are less exciting, less fun, but you do it, and it's okay.
So, Shannon, tell me what the kind of support that you receive being a military wife or being, you know, a family that serves.
Well, that's an interesting question, because I think most military families get a lot of support if they're attached to a active duty base and, you know, they're sitting there along with a whole bunch of other wives whose husbands have just deployed. But, you know, I live here in SLO, and, you know, he left as an attachment to a California National Guard mobilization, I guess you'll call it. But there's not much here for support, so it's really just kind of family and friends. But most, I think most Army and military families get a lot of support around the base where they live.
So what would be helpful for you, you know, on a day-to-day basis from those in your community? What would be helpful for you instead of being judged for your family choices? But what would be something that would really make your life a little easier while he's gone?
I don't know. I think I'm so used to it by now. I think just, you know, this area in particular, there's not really a lot of military families. So I think a lot of times people don't really, I don't think they don't support the troops, but I think that they're less supportive than in other areas where there are more more military people.
I think in some ways there's a concern that people have if they're too pro the troops, that it makes it sound like they're supporting the military actions. And so to find that dance between wanting to honor those, right? It's like, how do we do how do we live with those two things, wanting to love the people who are giving of their time and their life, and also wanting to make sure that we don't let the military say, and we support every choice you make.
You know, and that's huge for me because I'm a very liberal person, and I have a lot of problems with some of the things that the military does in general. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the same time, my husband's doing something really amazing right now, and I won't talk about it, but it doesn't have to do with the war. It's, you know, there are other things that the military does. So, yeah.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because it was something that I mentioned briefly, but that quite a bit of the work that our servicemen and women do is not combat related, right? That it's much more done in community building or in trying to enhance the life and well-being of many others, that it's not just about being a warrior.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. And I think that a lot of people around here, they see it as the latter. So it's a little bit harder. So you kind of just don't mention it as much, I think. So.
And do you have the support of, because you sound young, so I'm curious, do you feel the support of your friend group? We know as you were coming up when your husband made this decision to serve, was there support in his friend group or were people really surprised? And why did he decide to serve, if you don't mind me asking?
No, it's okay. It's just he and I graduated from Cal Poly, and he did the ROTC thing there. So it was kind of just what was next. And it was a big thing. He was a Boy Scout, an Eagle Scout. Like, so he always wanted to do his part to, you know, so he's got that kind of a mentality. And so his friend group, obviously, that he went through school with are definitely supportive because that's, you know, who he was friends with were his fellow ROTC friends. Did I answer your question? I'm sorry, I got distracted. My son just jumped in the car, and I have to go pick up my other one, so I've got to cut this shorter.
Oh, no, that's right.
but yeah, I mean, he's been in for 15 years, and been amazing, and we've met wonderful people along the way who are associated with the military. But those, you know, who aren't, they always just want to know when he's getting out. So it's kind of that same thing, so.
Well, I support you and your family, Shannon, and thank you so much for taking the time to call and enlightening a lot of people on what modern-day service looks like for young families.
Yeah, you're welcome, and thank you.
I wish you well. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with the Reluctant Therapist, and we're talking about veterans and service and what it is to serve our country. You know, the original Veterans Day was called Armistice Day, and it was revolved around the end of World War I, which was considered the Great War, the war to end all wars, which clearly it didn't. But Armistice Day was set around the fighting that ceased between Germany and the Allied forces at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, November 11th, 1918. And after World War II and the Korean conflict, it was renamed to Veterans Day, and Gerald Ford made sure that it was placed on the 11th of November every year to preserve not only the historical significance and the patriotic significance, but also to focus everyone's energy to celebrate on that day and honor American veterans for their patriotism, love of country, and willingness to serve and sacrifice for the common good. And I want to... You know, I really want to talk about this idea of common good and how important it is for all of us and our young people to understand that this country was founded in the idea that we could do something greater with a life, that we could do something greater when we put our energies together, when we put our ideals together, when we put our values together and created a place that had opportunities for all and not just for those with land or those with money, that there would be opportunities for all who wanted to give back and participate and grow a space, a place, a country that they could be proud of. And I really believe that this ideal of service to country, whether it's civilian service or military service, is so essential to our mental health and well-being because it gives us a common conversation. It gives us a uniting force for a very diverse and unique population. It gives us a conversation we can start. Where did you serve? How did you give your service? What was your service to the country? Right there, if we've all had some experience, it'll really help. And I also want to honor the fact that each individual has a different temperament, that we're not all created the same in our desires or our drives or our abilities or our capabilities. As Shannon was talking about, her husband from a young age was a Boy Scout, an Eagle Scout, and was on a path to service. It was something that was a drive in him. Just as an artist's temperament is unique to that desire to create, or an engineer's temperament, or a radio announcer's temperament, an educator's temperament, part of our task as human beings is to discover what our temperament is. What are those things that we're good at? What are the things that make us feel fulfilled and whole? And if that temperament is of service, of that warrior giving back, protecting, nurturing, caregiving, I mean, being a military, to being a soldier or a military officer is a lot more than just that warrior mentality. It's a lot about caring for others, nurturing others, protecting and defending those things we believe in. And so to be able to honor the temperament and the belief system of those who want to give back to their country in this way, in the way of military service, is incredibly important. And then for those of us who might not have the military service mentality, to find some way to do service to others, right? To give back, to improve the common good, to make this country a place that putting your life on the line is okay, that you're proud to. 805-781-3875 as we wrap things up, our conversation about Veterans Day. If you'd like to share your thoughts and feelings about service or your own service or your family service, I would be happy to hear from you. And as always, you can participate in the conversation off the air on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, or our website, thereluctanttherapist.com. We are of the modern technology era, thanks to the wizards that work at the station, that you can now download all of our shows, our podcasted shows, on iTunes. You can subscribe to them. And so if you miss a week, if you're doing something, these shows will show right up on your device, whatever that is, and you can listen at your convenience. Or you can stream previous shows by going to kcbx.org. I also want to remind you that this Sunday from 4 to 8 is our 40th anniversary party with KCBX, or celebrating 40 years of serving the Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, and Monterey County areas. And so you're invited to participate. Please contact the station. Tickets are, I think, are $40, and it's all the food and drink that you want. And there's going to be live music with Tipsy Gypsies. And I'm going to be there. And I would love to meet you and get to know those of you who are out there listening and supporting public radio KCBX. So I want to thank those who took the time to call. Thank all of you who have served this country, all of you who have supported those who have served our country. I encourage you to take some time tomorrow to think about, meditate on, say hello to those who have served, but also to look around at this country they're defending and find ways to be proud of what we have and who we are as people, as Americans, as a country. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and I thought we'd go out with one of my favorite songs today. And until next Tuesday, I wish you well. Be safe.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Of thee, we bow to sing. Land of the pilgrim's pride, same land where my forefathers died. mountainside. We're gonna let freedom reign. We're gonna let freedom reign. My native country, thee. Oh, the land of the noble free. Thy name I love. I love thy rocks. I love thy rills. I love thy woods and thy templed hills. Don't you know? My heart with rapture thrills, just like that above. Oh, oh, oh. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees. Thy sound prolonged. Protect us, Lord, by thy might. Great.
live.